This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah Al-Aziz. This name is filled with hope, is filled with strength, is filled with optimism, is filled with integrity. It's a very dear name to me. It's one of the names that I love very dearly. And you'll find when you look up this name, many translations for it in English. You may not find the one that I have up there as one of the options. This is my understanding of it. The unfathomable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are many other ways to describe this name that would be correct, and I don't object to any of the other translations that are more commonly used. There are several definitions for the name Al-Aziz, and I'm going to share a few of them with you. الَّذِي لَا نِدَّ لَهُ, the one who has no opponent, no real opponent, no one can really oppose him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. الغالب الذي لا يغلب, the triumphant who will never be beaten, subhanahu wa ta'ala. الذي يرزق عباده العزة, أو يرزق عباده العزة, the one who grants integrity and grants dignity and grants triumph and strength. والذي لا يدرك, and the one that can never be fully understood, comprehended, the one that is unreachable, which is hence the name, the unfathomable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that we've done the names this year is I went through categories, 12 different categories. And this is within the category, the attributes of His Highness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, inshallah, the last day of Ramadan, I'll go over those categories again, because it's helpful when you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to think about His names categorized in groups, that within that group there are many names that have similar meanings that allow you, if you want to contemplate yani His name subhanahu wa ta'ala, you contemplate a group of His names that have similar meanings. And we're going to be talking about yani names or attributes of His Highness subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I chose the name Al-Aziz subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unfathomable. So in the Quran, roughly 95 times, 47 of them is with Allah's name Al-Hakim. And there are around roughly 14 to 15 times with His name Al-Rahim, and then with Al-Qawi, and then with Al-Alim. And it comes with Al-Hakim a lot, because if He is subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who is not questioned, the one who is unreachable, the one that you cannot understand, the one that is unfathomable, is not comprehended, the one that cannot be controlled, then if He is not all-wise, then that could lead to tahawwur, it could lead to recklessness. If someone is of that degree of strength and he's beyond reach, if there's no wisdom, then you would be afraid of recklessness. But He is Al-Hakim, He is the all-wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that calms you. That yes, He is unreachable, yes, He is unquestionable, but He is the all-wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that strength and that dignity and integrity, that level of integrity and highness will not lead to recklessness. And it comes with His name Ar-Rahim subhanahu wa ta'ala, because similarly, when He subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be questioned of how He treats His servants, then it puts in your heart fear that maybe He is cruel, but He is not subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is unreachable, He's unquestionable, but He is also the most merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. Il-Qawi, Jalla Jalla, He's the strong, He is the powerful, but does He require that? Does He acquire that power from someone else? No, He is Al-Aziz. That power is not acquired from anyone. He does not require anyone for the power that he possesses, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Alim, He is the unfathomable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the unreachable, but He also is knowledgeable. Because if some with great power and ability, if there's no knowledge and there's ignorance, then it can turn into oppression. So all of the names that come attached with His name Al-Aziz are there to calm you, to grant you a certain degree of comfort, that yes, He is Al-Aziz, but don't worry. He is all-wise. He is powerful. He is merciful and He is knowledgeable. And that puts us at ease regarding His name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Jalla Jalaluhu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the cosmos and the earth, so that they may not disappear or see or cease to exist. And if he were to let them go and they stop existing, who is it that can bring them back and hold them again? No one but him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And the sun, it runs towards the destination that was pre-attained for. That is the prediction, or that is the preciseness of the unfathomable and the knowledgeable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about something that was on his mind, he said, Rabbi, arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Show me, how is it that you resurrect the dead? Qala awalam tu'min. Why, Ibrahim, do you not believe, or have you not attained a degree of belief that is of the depth of iman? Qala bala. He said, of course I have. Walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. But my heart is always asking me this question of how you do it. قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم جعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم دعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. Take a few birds, slaughter them, chop them up, put them in pieces on tops of mountains, and stand afar and call them to you, and you will watch them come back together and be alive. And then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Aziz. Because you don't understand how that works, do you? And you probably never will. But that's okay, because He is Al-Aziz subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the critical names. Al-Aziz is one of the central names. You have to know it. Like, if there are umbrella names within these categories, within these groups. Umbrella names you have to know, because they describe Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is unique for you as a Muslim in terms of how you understand God. He's Al-Aziz, meaning he's unreachable. You can't reach. You can't break him down mentally or logically. You can't reach him with your mind. You can't fully understand him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you could, then he wouldn't be God anymore. Anything that you can break down into its elements, understand in depth, that's not God. That's something that you were able with your mind to encompass and fully comprehend. Anything that you can understand fully is not God. So if you do believe in Allah, or you do believe in a supreme power, then by definition that supreme power has to be unfathomable, or else there's something wrong in the way that you've put together your belief system. If you believe in La ilaha illallah, you believe in the oneness of a God that created, and you also believe that you can break Him down and understand Him in depth in every detail of it, the essence of His existence, that doesn't work. You can't have it both ways. It's either this or that. If you accept La ilaha illallah, then by default He's going to be Al-Aziz subhanahu wa ta'ala, for sure. For sure. He talks subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran about His junood, his soldiers. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. And the only one who knows the soldiers or the tools of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Himself. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And to Allah belongs the soldiers that exist within the cosmos and on earth. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the unfathomable and the most wise. And when you take the examples that we have within the Qur'an that talk to us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizing His soldiers within the universe, you look on the day of Badr and you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory through a little bit of rain, through a little bit of sleep. If يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِّيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامَ. He granted victory with a little bit of rain, a little bit of sleep. And then He sent the malaika, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then suddenly they were victorious. He gave them a ru'ya. Right? إِذْ يُرِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنَامِكَ قَلِيلًا وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا لَفَشِلْتُمْ وَلَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمْ. He granted victory, his soldiers, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rain, sleepiness, and a vision that they would see in their dreams. And a control that he had, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the control he had of the perception of the eyeballs. إِذْ يُرِيكُمُوهُمْ إِذْ الْتَقَيْتُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا لَفَشِلْتُمْ وَإِذْ يُرِيكُمُوهُمْ إِذْ الْتَقَيْتُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ قَلِيلًا وَيُقَلِّلُكُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. When they stood that day, they looked at the mushrikeen, who were three times their number, they looked at them, they didn't seem very many to them. They saw them to be less. They saw them to be less. Who controls the perception of sight? Who's controlling how the brain is processing that which the eyeball is bringing in? And then the other group saw them to be less too, so they weren't less prepared and they were more comfortable and they won. Those are his soldiers, subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Al-Khandaq, a little bit of cold and some wind. The victory of the day of Khandaq, just the temperature dropped a little bit and some wind, and it was over. And the 10,000 people that marched from all over Arabia to destroy and annihilate Medina had to leave because they were too cold and it was too windy for them to stay there. Every grand victory in the Quran ends with this name. So when he talks subhanahu wa ta'ala about the day of Badr, he says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And the malaika, the story of the malaika was just there for your morale and for your hearts to be at ease as you enter this battle. But the true victory comes only from Allah al-Aziz, the unfathomable subhanahu wa ta'ala and the all-wise. When he talks about the end of that battle of Al-Khandaq, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them back disappointed and frustrated. They did not get anything good out of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saved the believers the need to fight. And indeed Allah is the most powerful and He is the unfathomable. When he talks subhanahu wa ta'ala about victory regarding other nations, بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ in Surah Al-Rum, بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. It's through the victory of Allah, He grants His victory and success to whomever He wants, and He is the unfathomable and the all-knowing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This name always comes attached to things that we cannot describe or we don't understand how they actually happened. So when He talks about Musa, Allah's speech to Musa, alayhi salam, when Allah spoke to Musa, Ya Musa, innahu ana Allahu al-Aziz al-Hakim wa alqi 'asak. O Musa, indeed it is I, the unfathomable and the all-wise. Because who is it that can explain to me how did Musa alayhi salam speak to Allah? And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to Musa? And what did that sound like? And how did that work? I don't know. No one does. That is something that's beyond my reach of comprehension. How did regarding Isa alayhi salam, Rafa Isa? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated Isa up to him, up to the heavens. Well, how is that? How did Isa? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. He's the unfathomable subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Hijrah, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to the Ghar Thawr and stayed there for 3 days, and somehow the mushrikeen figured out amongst 100 or 200 or 300 mountains in the opposite direction of where he was supposed to go, how they found the exact cave that he was in, alayhi salatu wasalam, is something that is difficult to understand. And then how is it that they got into the cave where he was sitting with Abu Bakr and they still didn't see him? Imagine getting that close to ending this story. You're that close. All you had to do was just look in that little opening that no one can really fit in there. Oh yeah, they just take a look, you would see a few legs. And you would know who was. They didn't. For them to reach, to get so close that they were in the right cave, and then they just lacked the ability just to look to see if someone's in there, and they didn't do that. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. There's no one, I don't understand how he didn't see it. Had the story not been in the Quran, it's hard to understand. When Isa alayhi salam speaks about on the day of judgment about what happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Yes, Isa, did you told people to take yourself and your mother as gods aside from me? قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق إن كنت قلته فقد علمته تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك. So Isa alayhi salam makes his argument saying, I didn't, subhanak, I didn't say anything that you did not tell me to say. If I did, you know it, because you know what I do, and I don't know what you do. I know what's inside, you know what's inside my nafs, I don't know what's inside yours. You're the all, ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به. I only told them what you told me to tell them. To worship Allah, my Lord and yours. At the end of this discussion, what he says, عليه السلام, this is what Isa says to Allah. He says, إن تغفر لهم. And the Prophet, عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما روي أنه قام ليلة بآية واحدة إلا بهذه. أو لم يثبت أنه قام ليلة كاملة إلا بهذه الآية. We don't have evidence that he spent a full night reciting one verse except this one. We know that he did it for other verses, we just don't know what they are. But the only verse that I have evidence that he spent the whole night just reciting the same verse time just over and over again is in the Sahihain, is this verse. إِن تَغْفِرْ إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, then indeed they are your servants. He's referring to the people who took Isa himself and his mother as gods, those who performed shirk, right? He's speaking about them because that's what he was questioned about. That's whom he was questioned about, alayhi salam. So he's speaking to Allah that I didn't tell them to do this. That's what they did, but I didn't tell them to do it. So he says, "In tu'adhibhum, if you punish them for that, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, they are your servants and you have every right to do so and no one can question you. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, but if you forgive them, usually, usually how these verses end, وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ وَا, right? غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, that's usually how this ends. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Why الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ? They're mushrikeen. He forgives everything but shirk. But Isa alayhi salam is saying, and if you forgive them, well, you're not questioned. You're the unreachable. You can do whatever you want. No one can question you. You're the unfathomable. If you decide to, if you punish them, then that's what they deserve. They're your servants. They perform shirk. But if you forgive them, who is going to question you? No one questions you. And you're the all-wise and the unfathomable. So use that name, alayhi salam. Because if he wants to forgive them, he can forgive them. It's up to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, I'm going to come and object to Allah. Based on what? I have no... وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And that's why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will repeat this ayah. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. That hope of someone who made the fatal sin, still finding forgiveness. How? Because Allah al-Aziz, that's how. Because Allah هو العزيز, because He's the unfathomable, because no one questions Him. And He does what He wills. And you don't have the ability to understand or comprehend or reach any of it, so you leave it. You leave it as it is. The concept of being Abd al-Aziz, being a servant of the Aziz, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what that means for you is that you feel that dignity and that integrity. Whenever you ask for something, you ask with integrity. Wherever you walk this earth, you walk with izzah. You walk with a certain degree of self-respect and self-esteem that denies you from humiliating yourself. The example of Sayyida al-Fadira radiallahu anha, Sumayya bint al-Khayyat, the first martyr within Islamic history, radiallahu anha, the mother of Ammar ibn Yasir and the wife of Yasir, she was a servant woman to Abu Jahl, who continued to torture her and persecute her to try and get her to leave the deen. And radiallahu anha was so aziza, she was filled with so much integrity that she refused throughout the whole process to ever admit anything or to ever be broken or to beg for forgiveness or beg for mercy or to say what it is that he was commanding her to say. Her son Ammar was broken a few times. He was broken a few times and he said whatever it is Abu Jahl wanted him to say, so Abu Jahl would leave him alone. He would run to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and say, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْتُ كَذَا وَقُلْتُ فِيكَ كَذَا. I said this and I didn't mean it. And قَالَ كَيْفَ تَجِدُ قَلْبَكَ. How do you find your heart? فَقَالَ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. I'm filled with iman. قَالَ إِذَا عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they do it again, then do it again. مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. The one person who is coerced to say or do things but their heart is filled with iman, they're not held accountable. But she, رضي الله عنها, she refused even though she had that permissibility. She had the permission to do whatever she needed to do to get out of this, and she refused, radiallahu anha, and she continued to challenge Abu Jahl until he murdered her, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And she was the first shaheed within the history of Islam, the first person to die for the sake of Allah was Sumayya bint al-Khayyat. Sayyidina Bilal ibn Rabah, taken out to the desert, tied down to the ground, and then large boulder being put on his chest. And they command, and they lash him and command him to say hubal, or to say yani, something that has to do with the idols of Quraysh. And all he would respond with was ahadun ahad. Until that phrase became an anthem that they would later on write on the banner of the day of Uhud to honor it. Every banner, every battle that the Muslims went into, they had a banner and they had a motto. They had there was a slogan. There was something that this is what we were going to say. This is what we, chant. And what they chose for the Battle of Badr were the words of Sayyidina Bilal under the boulder. Ahadun ahad. Because of his integrity, alayhi radwanullah. He refused to be broken. He refused to be broken, radiallahu anhu wa arda. And the stories in this, this sense are many. I don't want to take too much time. How do we live with Ismullah al-Aziz? I'm going to share with you, three points that I think are important, because I think that's the most important piece. If you understand his name, al-Aziz, the unfathomable, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this leads directly to a number of things. Number one, you feel that you are the servant of the Aziz. And the servant of al-Aziz has izzah that is taken from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. The one who is looking for integrity must know that all integrity and all dignity belongs to Allah. Alladhina yattakhidhuna al-kafirina awliya'a min duni al-mu'minin. Those who go and make alliances with disbelievers or enemies because they're weak and ayabtaghuna 'indahumu al-izzah. Are they looking for integrity through those alliances? They think the kuffar have izzah. يَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. That's what they're seeking, izzah. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, all of izzah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It always has and always will. And those who go and build alliances with enemies, with those who oppress and those who transgress against us, all they are increased is humiliation and dhul. And it's the people who refuse to do that. Though they may fall, though their blood may spill, they have more integrity than all those who do the opposite with all of their millions and all of their izzah is something that stays with you. Fir'aun, think of his izzah. Now, when he stands, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, he says. He speaks to people, says, I am your highest Lord. And people worship him. And he says, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Do I not have the sovereignty of Egypt? Am I not the king of Egypt? And all of these, and this river, and all these rivers run under my feet. Yeah. How was he when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the sea run over his head? آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٌ. Now you're going to say آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ. No, it's too late now. Now you'll bring you out of the sea and put your body for people to watch and look at. Every time you say his name, you're safe to say لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. لَعْنَهُ اللَّهِ. What dignity did this person carry? So he had a little bit of izzah for the 40, 50 years that he lived. So what? For eternity of time, he'll be doomed to Allah's damnation forever and ever. How is that? Where is the izzah in that? How is the izzah? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-aziz. You want izzah, you take it from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'isa abdu dirhami. Ta'isa abdu dinar. Indeed, the servant of money, the servant of the person who runs after money is willing to sell themselves, give up their dignity, give up their self-esteem for wealth. Ta'is. This person is miserable. Ta'isa wa antakas fa'idha shika falan taqash. This person, may this person never find ease. May this person for the rest of their lives continue to live in humiliation if they are. Be Abd al-Aziz, you're not Abd al-Dirham. You are the servant of the Aziz, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through his izzah, you find izzah. And you hold on to it through him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not arrogance. I'm not speaking of arrogance or vanity. I'm speaking of that confidence that comes from knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants izzah to whomever he wants. And since he's the one who grants it, then you seek it through him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking it through him allows you to walk this earth with a certain degree of confidence. You don't sell yourself to get a job, or to get a position, or to get ahead. No. You continue to walk. It doesn't ever work out immediately the way you want. If you decide to do this, you'll fail like a couple of times in a row, because this is a big deal. For you to fully understand the meaning of al-Aziz, and for you to see yourself as his servant, that requires from you true commitment, so you'll be put to the test a couple of times. You'll walk in with izzat nafs and you'll be rejected. And then again and rejected. And then again and rejected. He wants to see subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you just, are you in it? Do you fully understand this? Or do you think that it's just a, or is it conditional? Conditional, if I get what I want, then I'll do it. But if I don't get what I want, then I'll go and I'll sell. No. Kun Abdul Aziz. Number two. تذلل لله سبحانه وتعالى. Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jailani would say, نظرت إلى أبواب الله فوجدتها كلها ملأ إلا باب التذلل وجدته فارغا فناديتكم أن هلموا فدخلوا من هذا الباب. I looked at all the doors that lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and found them full, except the door of humiliating yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of coming with humbleness when you speak to Him. I found that door to be empty, so I entered and I called all of you to follow me and enter with me. He's Al-Aziz subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the dua of Imam Junaid كان يقول اللهم إني أسألك بعزتك وذلي. I ask you with your izzah, with your integrity and my humiliation, and my humbleness, my humility. Speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, feeling the difference of status between the unreachable, the one that cannot be comprehended subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one is just beyond us as human beings. We don't have the ability. You can understand something that is divine. We don't understand what divine means. We describe it. We don't understand it. We can talk about it. We can say it beyond time, beyond space. But what does that mean? I have no understanding of that. Neither do you. So when we talk about it philosophically a bit too much, it becomes ilm kalam and it gets very, very, very confusing. And you can't comprehend anymore because it's so complicated. Because the divine is in divinity. These are concepts that we just don't comprehend. And we don't understand how the transition from something that is divine to something within our world is very hard. We don't understand what it means. How is it that He is the omniscient? How is it that He is subhanahu wa ta'ala, the omnipotent? How does this all work? His sama' and His basal and His kalam and His irad and His haya. We don't understand it. And when you come to this, say, well, why don't I understand? Because He is Al-Aziz, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why. Because He is Al-Aziz, and you accept that He is Al-Aziz. That yes, there are aspects of Him that I will never understand. I'm okay with that. Actually, that's the only way I understand. I know that He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that there are aspects of Him that are beyond my reach, that are beyond the ability of my brain to. In Arabic, Azza, meaning it's out of reach. Azza mathiluhu. You can't reach it. There's nothing like it. You can't really get it. You grasp it. Al-Aziz subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is grant others around you izzah. Protect others' integrity. Be someone not only carries it for themselves, but protects it for others. Be very careful of humiliating people in your life, of taking the izzah of someone else, because once you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Aziz will take it back. Izzah belongs to Him, only to Him, doesn't belong to you. If you try and take someone else's izzah, He will take it back from you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do the opposite, protect people's integrity. You have to love what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says about Sayyidina Umar. قَالَ مَا زِلْنَا أَعِزَّةً مُنْذُ أَسْلَمَ عُمَرُ. We have since been quite dignified the day that Umar accepted Islam. Imagine this comment. Imagine the strength of this comment. He didn't say it that day. Sayyidina ibn Mas'ud would say this as an old man. Remember that these narrations, yani, were transmitted by these people at the end of their lives, not the day Umar ibn al-Khattab accepted Islam. No one was recording anything then. Sayyidina Mas'ud would leave Medina and go to Kufa, and he would teach people there at the end of his life, and that's when he would say these things. So, I mean, he's reflecting on the last 50 years of his life. He's reflecting on his life, and he's saying, مَا زِلْنَا أَعِزَّةً. That's the day that things changed for us. The day where we started to feel our integrity, we felt our dignity, is when the day Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab aslam. مَا كُنَّا نَجْرُؤُ أَن نُصَلِّيَ أَمَامَ الْكَعْبَةِ جَاهِرِينَ بِالْقُرْآنِ حَتَّى أَسْلَمَ فَصَدَّ النَّاسَ عَنَّا. We wouldn't dare stand and recite the Qur'an in front of the Kaaba in prayer until he accepted Islam and he started kicking people away when they came and tried to remove us. To be someone who grants others integrity and protects their dignity, it's a very, very meaningful thing. And you'll run into positions in your life where you have the ability to affect someone's self-esteem. You have the ability to put it down or to put it up, and then you'll make a choice in what you're going to do. they're not always going to be people you like. And it's not always going to be someone who was kind to you. Often in life, those who mistreated you, it goes 360 and comes right back. And the person who was once holding your destiny in their hands, now you have something that they need in yours, and you get to choose. How are you going to go by it? Are you someone who preserves people's dignity, or are you someone who takes it away? I am telling you, even if it's out of vengeance, even if this person did it to you before, if you decide to take away their dignity, he will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, take it back from you. So be very, very careful. Be the servant of the Aziz, walk with confidence. Come to him with humility, subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Ramadan. He is al-Aziz, and we are his servants. So come to him with that humility and protect the integrity and dignity of others. I'll end with that. Subhanahu wa bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.